Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward-focused analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. Somalia. Will the world mourn for Mogadishu? The Al-Shabaab terrorist group exploded two car bombs in the Somali capital Mogadishu over the weekend, killing at least 300 people and injuring over 500,000 in the country's deadliest attack ever, though most of the Western world just shrugged about it and moved on. Kirkuk crisis, Kurds versus Iraq. The Iraqi army restored Baghdad's sovereignty over the disputed oil-rich city of Kirkuk in a largely peaceful operation, though one which the separatist Kurdish forces ominously warned was a declaration of war. And also, the crypto ruble, Russia's next currency. Russia surprised many investors across the world by announcing its plans to release the crypto ruble, a government-regulated digital currency. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the terrorist attack in Mogadishu. The Al-Shabaab terrorist group exploded two car bombs in the Somali capital Mogadishu over the weekend, killing at least 300 people and injuring over 500,000 in the country's deadliest attack ever, though most of the Western world just shrugged about it and moved on. Although the mainstream media was forced to cover this tragic event because of the enormity of what happened, they didn't promote any viral hashtags or encourage world leaders to march together in solidarity like they do every time something comparatively less devastating happens in Europe. Part of the reason for this is that none of their own were killed in this attack, while the other has to do with the fact that Somalia is so seemingly far away from the West that their intended audience doesn't really care about what goes on there. Even so, Al-Shabaab's latest act of terror is indeed a very important event because it suggests that one of the world's most notorious groups is ready to go back on the offensive in East Africa precisely at the moment that Daesh is on the brink of defeat. And there would be far-reaching implications if the war on terror suddenly spread to the wider region that's become the focal point of China and India's engagement with the continent. There's also the possibility that a sudden spike in instability in Somalia could lead to a renewed outbreak of piracy in the crucial Gulf of Aden, through which most of European, Asian maritime trade traverses, further crowding this irreplaceable transit space that's already seen a lot of military action due to the war on Yemen. The core of the problem is that there's a serious security void in Somalia because the country's fledgling government isn't prepared to assume full military responsibilities, while the African Union mission there has been largely ineffective and is scheduled to depart by 2020 anyhow. Some military contributors, such as Ethiopia, have already left, while others like Burundi and Uganda are thought to only be participating for pecuniary reasons. As for the region's most stable and prosperous state, Kenya, it's been victimized by several high-profile terrorist attacks because of its involvement in Somalia and is reluctant to get drawn into a possible quagmire when it's already caught up in its own unresolved political crisis. All of these factors have led to the world largely forgetting about Somalia, though Al-Shabaab seems hell-bent on reminding them why this is one of the most important fronts in the war on terror. Folks, this is a very tragic event, and I want to say that I really am very sorry to all the victims and their families for what transpired, and I do wish that the rest of the world paid more attention to what's happening. And precisely for that reason, we're talking about this on Trendstorm today, and we are joined by Dr. Bishara Ali Agal. Bishara is the Chief Executive Director of the Horn of Africa Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Bishara, can you tell our audience very briefly about the origins of Al-Shabaab and its connections to other international terrorist groups and their sponsors?
Well, everybody knows all terrorists have some connection somewhere, the empire, and the people think that they are indigenous, just like Daesh, just like Boko Haram, all those guys. And after a long time, for a quarter of a century, since 9/11, people have come to know with a lot of blood and a lot of tears, a lot of destruction, that these guys actually are not what they say they are or who they are, that they are in for other people's services. And that services is the death and destruction of indigenous nationalist, pluralistic nations like Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Libya.
Are there any other international terrorist groups that are affiliated with al-Shabaab? Some people say al-Qaeda. I know that some people have whispered about Daesh. Is al-Shabaab connected to these, or is it more like a standalone franchise, if you will?
Well, I think I'm not an expert on them, but they are very tribal-oriented too, and that's one of the problems they have. They say themselves, they have said that they have their allegiance to al-Qaeda. Now, who's al-Qaeda and where is al-Qaeda? So probably they are just saying to make sure that they are more legit.
I see. Okay, well, can you explain to us then why the rest of the world should pay more attention to what's happening in Somalia, and how do developments in the country affect a global security interest?
Well, geostrategically, Somalia is connected to the main line, to the Indian Ocean Basin, the Red Sea, the South Arabian line, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, where all the commercial line goes, especially the Bab el-Mandeb, the Red Sea. Also, all these shipping lanes down from South Africa to Arabia and vice versa. I think it's very important for Somalia's strategic situation and position that the world community should focus in making sure the peace, prosperity, and stabilization of Somalia. Actually, what's happening now is the opposite. There are forces, international forces, who are really contributing to the destabilization. In other words, they have what we call a chaos theory, that if you create so much chaos that at the end of the line that these people in Somalia or those who are claiming the indigenous will just neutralize each other.
Very interesting. Well, okay, Bashar, we see that, al-Shabaab, they committed such a heinous act of terror the other day. So what course of action do you realistically foresee being taken against the group? And how likely is it to succeed in stopping them from expanding their gains in the country and seizing upon this terrorist momentum?
Well, I don't know whether they have claimed that they are responsible, because so far we didn't hear anything from them. And if they say that it is that they are the one who have done, well, they have done a lot of inhuman, violent, terrorist action to the Somali indigenous people. They destroy property, they destroy human lives, they destroy families, they destroy the peace and prosperity of this country, whatever symbols that they call. They can't call themselves Muslims, they can't call themselves Somalis. I don't know what they call except being terrorists, period.
Okay, well, what do you think Mogadishu should do? I mean, I know that there is the African mission in Somalia right now. That's supposed to depart by 2020. Ethiopia, with which Somalia has a very contentious relationship, withdrew last year. Uganda and Burundi, who are top contributors to the Amisom mission, they seem to just kind of just be there. I mean, no one's really sure what they're doing. Turkey is opening up a base in Mogadishu. The UAE is in Somaliland in the northwest. So, I mean, how do you see these actors kind of responding to al-Shabaab? Even if al-Shabaab doesn't take credit for this attack, I mean, it's still on the upswing in their country, some people say. And now all eyes are beginning to slowly turn to Somalia. So what can international actors do to assist in Somalia's war on terror?
Well, all these actors are there for their own, I repeat, Andrew, for their own geostrategical political interest. Well, Turkey has already opened it. And that's Turkish interest, it's not Somali interest. They have a big business here, they are doing all they can do. These African forces, they are doing their own business. What I'm saying is, Somalia needs to stand in its own, to take ownership of its future. Somali people should take their own. And the international community should support in rebuilding Somali National Army, in rebuilding Somali true Somali unified state, rather than organizing the balkanization, the division, the Bantustan. You know the word Bantustan, what apartheid used to do in apartheid South Africa. That's what's happening. And it should be. Somali people should be given all support financially, diplomatic, or what I call economic, in order to do the, they have to pull their bootstrap and be a unified national entity in this part of the region, rather than depending always. You can't always depend someone else's security, someone else's call, someone else's sponsorship. You should take care of your own self. Somalia should wake up and take over the ownership of their future.
Okay, Dr. Bishara, thank you so much for this very comprehensive overview of Somalia's geostrategic importance. And thanks also for your very inspiring call to action at the end for Somalis to unite, stand up, and oppose the balkanization of their country. Thank you. That was very powerful.
Trendstorm.
Now we're going to switch over and hear what Mr. Abdimalik Ahmed has to say. He's a small business owner, Somali political commentator, and local activist based in Columbus, Ohio. What message was Al-Shabaab trying to send with this latest terrorist attack, and how do you anticipate that the government and its African Union allies will respond?
Let me start by sending my prayers to the victims of last Saturday's cowardly massacre. My heart and sincere condolences goes out to the victims' families, friends, and to the Somali community, both home and abroad. Now, back to your question. Well, there are quite a number of messages Al-Shabaab aimed to dispatch with the latest carnage. The most important one of all is the group's quest to survive by maintaining relevance in the midst of renegade Al-Shabaab leaders defecting to government forces, rank and file members, as well as sympathizers surrendering. These are existential threats to their existence. Also, it's no secret that they have a deep desire to instill constant fear in the hearts and minds of average folks and government officials alike, so to induce loss of trust in government institutions. Obviously, they want everyone to perpetually and relentlessly look over their shoulder, whether you're at the busiest intersection or at the most eerily abandoned avenue. As for the response of the government and Amazon forces, I can tell you this. There is no easy solution to the complex and entrenched crises that have been tearing Somalia apart. You just can't drop unguided missiles or carpet bomb these inhumane, homicidal savages. Why? They use civilians as human shields and forcefully recruit kids as soldiers. So, we urge the government to come up with a detailed plan to take the fight to Al-Shabaab's hearts and strongholds, cut off their supply routes, financiers, and pick out their leaders one by one. One last thing. Somalia is the cash cow for Amazon forces and their respective countries. It is in their best interest to milk this cow and keep us dangling from a bottomless pit. Also, we've got state governors that like to be called, quote-unquote, presidents, the likes of Gas of Bumland, half of Galmudug, who recently was voted out by his state parliamentarians, Wari of Ushabali, Sharif of Southwest, and a former extremist himself who has since repented, Madobe of Jubaland, that are in the payroll of Gulf states, specifically the United Arab Emirates, whose sole purpose is to undermine and sabotage the government of Somalia.
Okay, I see. This is a very complex situation. Thanks also for telling us all about the economic interests involved here. Well, if we look more at a geopolitical perspective then, given the region's fragility, what are the risks that the neighboring countries could be destabilized if Al-Shabaab goes on a reinvigorated terrorist offensive?
As most of us already know, Al-Shabaab isn't just a threat to Somalia, but to the region as well. It has proven time and again to be a highly adaptable organization that can recruit beyond Somalia's borders and strike at the heart of Nairobi or Kampala. They're believed to possess sleeper cells in most of the Horn. If you want them contained, defeated, destroyed, and dismantled, this one needs to happen. The UN Security Council has to lift the 25-plus years arms embargo on Somalia. That being said, Somalia's government has to show that it has in place the internal control mechanism to ensure the arms be used appropriately and be stored in safe places. In some cases, Al-Shabaab's foot soldiers are better fed and equipped than the government soldiers and security apparatus. And that cannot continue if we want Al-Shabaab demolished.
Okay, well, I guess if we move beyond the standard military solution that experts like to talk about in wiping out terrorist groups, what socioeconomic measures could be implemented afterwards then to prevent them from returning?
Well, even though there ought to be more comprehensive research done on the correlation between poverty, lack of education, and terrorism, I personally believe the eradication of poverty and the attainment of education, of universal education, healthcare, and job opportunities will change the desire and the need of the youth that are fighting for Al-Shabaab or blowing up themselves on their behalf. See, you have to keep in mind, after 3 decades of hostility, a generation of our kids lost the opportunity for formal education and other benefits associated with a stable childhood. Over 70% of Somalia's population is under the age of 30. Meanwhile, youth unemployment is around 70% as well, among the highest in the world. This is where Al-Shabaab comes in to fill the void and employ these youngsters to cause devastation and misery. We have to change the status quo, or else we're doomed.
Abdi Malik, thanks a lot for this very deep conversation. You put everything in a perspective and helped us understand how difficult of an issue this is to deal with, as well as the military and socioeconomic implications, but also possible solutions for dealing with it. So thanks a lot for that.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Dr. Bishara and Mr. Abdi Malik both share with us today, we can see that Al-Shabaab, it is both a symptom of a problem and also the problem in and of itself. On the one hand, this is represents an extremist ideology that was transplanted to Somalia and is contributing to the balkanization of the country. On the other hand, there are some quote-unquote indigenous forces there that are taking advantage of the domestic problems in Somalia in order to create another caliphate of terror, if you will. And that's why the rest of the world needs to keep an eye on Somalia, because what's happening there is very important. There are many geostrategic implications there. And at the end of the day, when anyone gets killed by terrorists, we need to mourn them and pay them respect. We can't shrug our shoulders and ignore them. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.